Hello and welcome to this podcast, which covers the discussions at the December 2015 meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board, held in London from the 15th and 16th of December. My name is Roseanne Shipman and I'm part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. I'm joined by Gary Kabarek, ISB member, and Hugh Shields, Executive Technical Director, to talk through the discussions and decisions taken at the December meeting. Before I hand over to Gary and Hugh, I just want to mention that the views shared in this podcast are those of the participants and they do not necessarily represent those of the ISB. So Gary, one of the topics discussed at the December meeting was revenue recognition. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Roseanne. By far the largest portion of our December meeting, some of the meeting just amongst ourselves and some of it joint with our colleagues at the FASB, concerned revenue recognition. I'll highlight what I consider to be the topics that we discussed, the broadest applicability or interest. There are many other smaller topics discussed, which I'd refer you back to our webpage on. The entire session was focused on discussions, the feedback received in response to the exposure draft we issued in the middle part of 2015, clarifying a number of aspects of IFRS 15. Firstly, the feedback that we received demonstrated strong support for the high hurdle that the ISB had established with respect to revisions of IFRS 15 and also to stay as converged as possible with the FASB. For those of you that have been following the project, you'll recall that at the initial TRG meetings in the middle of 2014, they came up with a list of what I would call the big three topics in need of work by the two organizations. The big three are identifying performance obligations, certain aspects of licensing, and principal and agent, or known in some quarters as gross versus net. All three of these subjects were discussed in the course of the meeting. With respect to identifying performance obligations, the board decided to clarify factors that would be pertinent to the separation criteria when multiple deliverables exist inside a particular contract. Importantly, the staff was directed to work with the FASB staff to try to achieve converged language on these mutual clarifications that both boards are doing, being one of the big three topics both boards agreed. It was critical to keep the languages aligned as closely as possible. We also confirmed earlier decisions with respect to performance obligations not to amend IFRS 15 for immaterial contract provisions and for shipping and handling costs. We also discussed licensing, one of the big three issues, and based on the feedback, voted to confirm the exposure draft's proposals with respect to clarifying IFRS 15 for aspects of licensing, confirming, determining the nature of the entity's promise when granting the license, and what the scope and applicability of the sales-based and uses-based royalty exceptions are. All 13 members of the ISB voted in support of reaffirming the exposure draft. We also decided to confirm an earlier decision not to amend the existing requirements of IFRS 15 relating to contractual restrictions when they exist inside licensing. Another topic we discussed, and there were several smaller ones, but one worth highlighting, concerned constraining estimates of variable consideration when the consideration varies based on a future market price. The ISB agreed with the staff's recommendation that variability arising solely from changes in a market price would not be subject to the variable consideration constraints in IFRS 15. The last technical discussion on revenue I want to discuss concerns our joint session with the FASB, and that was discussing principal and agent considerations. Both boards confirmed the principles in IFRS 15 and the FASB's case topic 606, that a specific good or service to a customer, when it controls the good or service, it's probably acting as a principal, and when it's acting in the arranging capacity, it's acting as an agent. There were a number of tactical proposals the boards had proposed with respect to determining whether whether a provider is either a principal or an agent, so we confirmed the exposure draft's recommendations. And we also pointed out in certain contracts you may be both a principal and an agent at the same time for different deliverables inside the contract. The ISB and the FASB are both fully aligned on the subject. We also discussed the application of the indicators for when a principal versus agency relationship exists, and vis-a-vis the control principle that underpins the overall standard. We clarified that the indicators assist in the evaluation of control, but they do not override the determination of control. The control being one of the five pillars of the model is what prevails. The indicators are assistance in determining when you have control or just are acting as a facilitator. Both boards also decided to eliminate exposure to credit risk as one of the indicators. There are six indicators. Mutually agreed, the feedback confirmed that the credit risk indicator is rarely used in practice, was the weakest of the indicators, so we decided to eliminate from the final standard. So with that, the ISB has completed its deliberations of clarifications and other adjustments and amendments to IFRS 15. What's left for an upcoming meeting, probably in January, will be discussing the effective date and some transition provisions. So with that, Roseanne, I'll give it back to you.
Great. So what else was discussed at the meeting with you?
Yep. So I'll cover off a number of different issues that the board touched on. Firstly, the board reviewed the due process steps that this has taken to date on the effective date of amendments to IFRS 10 and IAS 28, which is a narrow scope amendment to IFRS 10, Consolidated Financial Statements, and IAS 28, Associates and Joint Ventures, which defers the effective date of the sale or contribution of assets between an investor and its associate or joint venture. All 13 board members present confirmed they are satisfied that the board has completed the necessary due process steps, and following balloting, the board did indeed issue the effective date of amendments to IFRS 10 and IAS 28 before Christmas. The board also discussed a number of IFRS implementation issues. So firstly, the board discussed IFRS 2, which covers share-based payments, and in particular, the classification and measurement of share-based payment transactions. And in relation to that, the due process steps that have been followed in developing the narrow scope amendments to this standard and that particular topic. All board members confirmed that they are satisfied that the necessary due process steps have been completed, and the board now plans to issue the final amendments to IFRS 2 in Q1 of 2016. The board also discussed the classification of liabilities. No decisions were made on this topic, but it is expected and anticipated that the staff will carry out further discussions with the board in future meetings. And then the third implementation issue relates to the measurement of interests in associates and joint ventures that in substance form part of the net investment. And again, no decisions were made, but the board members present supported the Interpretations Committee's continued discussion of this issue. Then the board had a discussion of IFRS 3, business combinations, and the definition of a business. And this was to consider the IFRS Interpretations Committee's comments on the board's proposed amendments to IFRS 3. And these proposed amendments would clarify the definition of a business and related application guidance. And the board tentatively decided to retain the substantially all threshold and ask constituents whether they think this is a practical approach. They decided to clarify in the illustrative examples of the proposed amendments that a building acquired and an in-place operating lease shall be considered a single asset for the evaluation of the substantially all threshold. The board further tentatively decided to clarify in the proposed amendments to the application of application guidance of IFRS 3 that the acquired outsourcing agreements may be considered to provide an organised workforce, and that the acquirer should consider whether the acquired outsourcing agreements perform a substantive process. The board also tentatively decided to explain in the basis for conclusions of the proposed amendments that where an entity acquires a supplier and then ceases generating revenues, because all output is consumed by the acquirer, the supplier would still be capable of generating revenues, and so it might qualify as a business if other criteria are met. And finally, the board tentatively decided to add two illustrative examples on how to apply the proposed guidance in the financial sector and in the extractive industries sector. All 13 board members present agreed with these decisions. And then also in relation to this topic, the board tentatively decided that the comment period for the exposure draft should be 120 days. And again, that was a unanimous decision. The board also continued its discussions of the proposed amendments to IFRS 3, business combinations, and IFRS 11, joint arrangements. And here the board tentatively decided that the proposed amendments should be applied to transactions occurring on or after the effective date, with early application permitted, and that the comment period for the EE for the exposure draft should be 120 days. All board members present agreed with these decisions. In addition, the board reviewed the due process steps that it has taken in developing the proposed amendments and confirmed that they are satisfied that the board has indeed completed all necessary due process steps. And then finally, the board received a general update on the research programme, as well as participating in a discussion of a piece of research on discount rates. And in relation to that latter topic, no decisions were made. It was a discussion with very much educational in nature, and a further discussion of discount rates will take place next week in the January board meeting. With that, I shall pass back to Roseanne.
Thank you very much, Hugh. Gary, I understand we also discussed the disclosure initiative. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. For those of you that have been following our disclosure initiative, you're aware that it is in reality a suite of numerous individual but highly related projects. To this point, almost all of the individual projects are either done, very near done, or very well along the way. The primary subject that has not started until this meeting concerned a pillar referred to as the standards level review. In that section of the disclosure initiative concerns just that. How are we going to go about reviewing existing disclosure requirements and our standards? The staff brought a number of proposals for how to go about approaching this particular aspect of the disclosure initiative. We discussed a number of items with respect to scope, content, form, and various options with respect to proceeding. No decisions were made. However, we're going to continue discussing at meetings early in 2016, and this makes it the last of the major portions of the disclosure initiative to commence. Also, with respect to the disclosure initiative, the board agreed on a number of sweep issues with respect to amendments to IAS 7 that are coming out to clarify clearly on how to distinguish required disclosure information with respect to cash flow disclosures versus those that are optional. And 12 out of the 13 ISB members agreed with those decisions. With that, Roseanne, I think we've probably covered most of the important topics discussed in the meeting, and take any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Hugh and Gary. Just before we finish, I want to remind you that the official summary of the December board meeting, called ISB Update, can be found on the IFRS Foundation's website, www.ifrs.org. This contains further information on other topics that were also discussed at the December meeting. The next ISB meeting starts on the 19th of January. Thank you very much for listening.